Philip to be working his way up here as I introduce him to you. Philip, come on up. Philip is coming to us all the way from India. He has made, I learned, around 20 or so trips to America over the years, and he's been with us a couple times. He preached here a few years ago. It would have been before COVID. I'm not exactly sure what year it was, but always a blessing to hear from him. Philip runs three orphanages in India, and he has some of the kids that nobody else will take. And they do an amazing ministry to give a home for kids and to help them to know about Jesus, which is even more important. Philip, when he comes to speak, he doesn't hold back anything. He's going to tell you what he believes God's placed on his heart and what he has to say, what God has to say through him. He came the last two Wednesdays and has talked to our youth and prayed over them. Had a couple really special experiences there. I know that you're going to have a special experience as well. I'll let Philip say the rest about who he is and what he's doing and why he comes to America. So, Philip, come share with us, would you?
Can I have the lights, please? I don't appear in the dark. I'd like to have the lights, please, if you don't mind. A little more brighter. Otherwise, you can't see me. I disappear. Thank you. There, now I am. God said, I am that I am, right? Well, God blessed me. When I go to Kashmir, I realize the value of my skin because everybody there is like you, very fair. There's a lot of snow there. And when I'm in the bus or in a little car and I'm sitting right up front there and the cops or the military guys will pull out everybody from the car and check everything other than me. Being black is blessed. I wonder what Jesus' color looked like. Let me tell you quickly why I'm here. Like Pastor said, why I come here. When I got my visa the first time, a friend invited me and said, come in. It was very funny. I didn't tell this in the first service. I'm going to mention this now. And I was sitting in a jail in Orissa. Orissa is a place where there was persecution in 2008, 2009. If any of you heard about that, thousands of Christians, thousands of pastors were put behind bars. And the Christians in one particular northeastern village of Orissa were burnt up, like at stakes. And people put Christians to a lot of trouble. Indians suffered. The church suffered. So when I was there, the reason I went to Orissa was the Lord told me, he said, go and help my people in prison. I didn't understand that. I have a scar on my leg, which is a mark to mark that occasion. And when I looked at that scar, I said, I need to tell these people how God works. And it was so funny when the Lord told me to go there. And he told me, help my people in prison. I didn't think that pastors would be put into prison. But bottom line, after that persecution, pastors were in jail. Some accused for nonsense relationships, some accused falsely, some accused and thrown in without bail. And a lot of pastors were suffering there. I managed to be there. The first time I walked into Orissa, the Lord told me, go there and help these people. And I was like, I don't know anybody in Orissa. I don't know a single person there or a pastor there. I tried to ask the guy in the train. I said, where can I stay? He said, the YMCA. I think you are a pastor. Maybe it's written over there. And when he said the YMCA, I was like, okay, let me go to the YMCA. So I went to the YMCA and the secretary there was like, jails? They won't allow you. I said, all my life I have criminal friends. And secretary of the YMCA looked at me and laughed. He said, maybe. I just threw my suitcase in there. The Lord said, go to the prison now. Go to the authorities now. When I went to the DIG's office, there was no DIG in the office, Deputy Inspector General. And he was not in his office. And it was a Saturday afternoon. And God told me, wait. And the guy there in the lounge, he looked at me. He thought I was some big dude. And he thought that he had some important person there. So he took me to this little lounge and put on the AC. Because in India, you don't do it for somebody who's not important. Bottom line, after 3 hours, 5 o'clock in the evening, the office closed. The poor guy came up to me apologetically and said, please, don't mind. I don't think the DIG will come back because it's Saturday and he might have gone to the club. So I said, no, he told me to come. I just didn't tell him he told me to come. And when I told him that, he said, okay, but I'll give you half an hour more. That's maximum I can do on a Saturday afternoon. Bottom line, after half an hour, the DIG didn't come. The pastor friend who was with me got restless. And he said, let's go, I'm hungry. I said, wait on, we need to fast sometimes. He was very fast. He wanted to get out of that place. And he was so anxious to get out because his tummy, I could hear him rumbling. And bottom line, all said and done, when we got off the building listening to this pastor friend's words, I came to the road and I said, let's have a cup of tea. I was trying to play for time between my pastor friend and myself. So, and when I said, have a cup of tea, he took a morsel to eat. When he was having that morsel to eat, the corner of the road, 3 cars rolled in. And the deputy inspector generals are pretty big guys in India, prisons basically. They hold thousands of people. So this guy came in, 3 cars behind him. And I dropped the cup of tea and ran up third floor. My friend, panting behind me, said, please don't run. You can run, not me. That guy's got a bigger punch than me. He doesn't fit in a big car. Okay. And we went in there, and this man, he looks at me standing in front of the office and says, yes, sir, what can I do for you? I said, I was waiting for you. He said, I was waiting for you too. I said, I'm Pastor Philip. He said, oh, I was thinking the MLA, the Legislative Assembly man, would be here. God knew this guy is coming back. But God sent me from his assembly of God. Long story short, I got my permission. The DIG came the next day to the YMCA, drove me. The first time in my life, I drove with 3 cars behind me. Wah, wah. Turned out that he was a believer. And he told me when signing my letter, he said, I am a believer. Don't tell anybody. God has his people kept in special places. Just before COVID, I came in March, February first week of 22 or 21, I think. And 21, I think so. Just before COVID started. When I came in, the Lord told me, rebook your ticket. And I was like, Lord, I just came. He said, rebook your ticket, prepone it. So I called my son, I told my son, I said, son, you need to prepone this ticket for me. And God told me that I need to come back to India. He said, Dad, homesick? And he didn't do it. Some sons are good. They don't prepone your ticket. So I decided, okay, let me call my brother-in-law. So I called my brother-in-law who adores me for whatever he's worth. And he thinks I take care of his sister very well. So he said, okay, let's do it. And I asked him and he went to the ticket booking office and preponed my ticket. And then he didn't get charged. Normally when you prepone your tickets, you get charged a little extra for canceling and preponing. So bottom line, I reached India March 17th. That was the last flight to India. God speaks. My focus today is not about the Orissa prison or not about my COVID return to India. When everybody was suffering in India in COVID time, the doctor would come and tell me, when my wife got COVID, Philip, you are there next to her all the time and you should have COVID. I said, Jesus said, I won't have COVID. Stick something in my nose, stick something in my mouth, three times, all kinds of stuff going inside me which I didn't like, and then bottom line, no COVID. Who protects us? Who keeps you as the apple of his eye? Who is God to you this morning? Is there something you put on your little door frame that says, I love myself more than God? A saying that says, it's me, 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 nobody else. I see that a lot here, forgive me. It's your car, it's your house, it's your wife, it's your child, it's everything around you. It's the ball game. Forgive me, you don't want to be kicked like a football when you land in God's court. I was talking to Matt. I said, there's a lot of diversions happening here. Today morning, I'm going to talk about Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to talk about three young men who dedicated their life to God. They knew the commandments. Verse 1, verse 2 says, this king made an idol huge. And these guys said, no. That's not ours. The king heard about them. The Chaldeans came and said, these three guys, these captive slaves whom you put in power, they are not worshipping the idol you did. And when the idol was there, and when the people were bowing down, the governors and everybody putting their head down to the floor, these three guys stood back. They knew their God. And they wouldn't bow to any idol. Whom are you bowing to today? What is your idol? A fancy house? A fancy lifestyle? Something that you're holding so close that if you lose it, you feel gone, finished? These guys couldn't care less. They walked up to the king when the king called them, like maybe dragged them in front of the king and said, put him there, and said, okay, now what? They said, we don't care to answer you because you are nobody to me. Something like that. They were obstinate. They were obnoxious. They were rude in saying, you are not my king. You don't matter to me. That idol you set up is nonsense. And we don't bow down. Three of them were what you would call blockheaded. Their mind, their eyes were fixed on the Almighty. The king got angry, red in face maybe, because he was a king and whatever his orders were supposed to be obeyed. This guy, these three guys, like these three girls here in the front, so much remind me of people like that. Young men who loved God, who didn't care for their lives, who decided that I don't care if I need to die. If I die, so be it. But I will not bow front of your idol. Sometimes we set up stuff before us. Before I came in here in the first service, my grandson and my wife called me and I showed some friends. I said, hey, say hi to my little grandson. Sometimes we set our affections on things of this earth. I had to tell my wife, please call me later. I'm not taking the call now, so I cut the call. When your grandson calls you, and if God calls you, where do you make your choice? Get away from family. It's difficult. I'm not saying hate them. I'm saying love them less. I'm not saying get rid of them. I'm saying don't bow to their demands if they are not right. Because things of this world will fantasize you. They will drag you, they'll lure you, they'll seduce you into bowing to idols which are not from God. Music can be an idol. Forgive me, Michael. You being on the stage can be an idol. You looking nice can be an idol. You having a good girlfriend can be an idol. You having a good voice can be an idol. You having the best car in town can be an idol. When I built my third orphanage, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, allow me to build without hitch. And when I did it, the Muslim guy who is next to my orphanage having a mosque, he announced on the mosque PA the announcement, the small mission has become a big mission. I went down to his home. I said, Namaskar. In this Indian style, I did a salute to him. I said, you don't know what you're talking. I didn't build that. He said, who did? I said, my God did. I didn't earn that money. It's not my money. That is built by God. The small mission or the big mission, do you know how big God is? We look around us and think, wow, I have a nice house. We think of our beautiful gold chains, or maybe in India, a lot of gold is on women. I just got my daughter married, and Carolyn was reminding me of that. When you get married a girl in India, and you give her in marriage, you need to give some gifts of gold. I sat in my daughter's wedding, looking at my daughter on the stage, and thinking how beautiful heaven will be. People walked up to me and said, why are you so sad? I said, that lights, that stage, that gold, silver, all that silk saris, stuff that we admire so much, wonder how heaven will be. They said, don't be so super spiritual. But I am super spiritual because I'm not normal. I'm abnormal. I worship a God who's above normal. He's not normal. You can't hold him in a little idol which is put into a piece of gold. You can't put him in a little piece of clay. Who is God to you today? What does he make? Are you making of him? What are you making of God in your life? First stage, second stage, third stage. Never read your Bible. Never pray. Do whatever you like. Wake up in the morning, fix your coffee. Say it's a good day and walk out of home. Bow down with your head to the footstool, because he said, earth is my footstool. Put your head on the floor and tell him, you, Lord, are my God. You, Jesus, are my master. And you alone will be, should be, and can be God forever. Nobody else. I had a little wound a couple of years ago, and I went to the doctor. It didn't heal. 6 months, it was there, and suddenly it erupted, and that wound started oozing. And the doctor and my son told me, Dad, let's do this surgery. The doctor said, please, please, you need to take surgery, or you will not survive. I went back, got in the car, looked at my son. I told him, I'm not taking the surgery, son. He said, why? I said, I don't believe doctors. They can't heal. Forgive me, but I'm not against doctors. I'm against the concept of healing from a doctor. They may know what your disease is. But they cannot guarantee healing in your disease. My God can. Third day morning, kneeling down there, I touched that little wound. The plaster was dry. I couldn't pull it off like normal when it was soggy and wet. And I touched it and I told my son, please come soon. He looked at me. He said, Dad, what's wrong? I said, come, son, this plaster is dry. He said, so what? I said, so what? It means that something's happened. He came, ripped it off my tummy. He said, Dad, there's no scar. The God who doesn't leave a scar of sin on your life. The God who heals you and makes you wholesome, fresh, new, renewed, rescued from danger. Why does he heal souls? Why does he save you from sin? Why does he bring you to that rock bottom and you say, Lord, why did I land there? You went your way. You chose your idols. And those idols didn't stand with you when you hit rock bottom. These three guys walked into the fire because the king said, I'm going to put you in the fire. And the fire was 7 times more hot. In fact, the Bible says the three guys who brought them through the fire to drop them in, wrapped in their little coats, they died. Because the fire was so hot. But these three guys dropped into the fire and were walking cool because the Lord God Almighty was with them. The king looks at it and says, didn't we put three in there? Didn't we say and curse these three and put them in there because they're going to not bow down to that little idol of mine? How come there's a fourth one? And he looks, the king says, he looks like the Son of God. Jesus walked into that room that day. A room filled with fire, a furnace filled with fire. You might be going through a fiery experience right now. You might have lost your job. You might have lost those sent close, dear to you. Jesus walks with you. Deuteronomy 33:3, he says, underneath are his everlasting arms. He didn't let you even touch the fire. He held you. Remember that he's fire. He is the Holy Spirit. Remember the book of Acts where it talks about fire coming on the disciples' heads? After that, they couldn't stay quiet. They had to shout it out. They were mumbling, tumbling, running out of that little small room of prayer. 120 of them, they were called drunk fools. Some mocked them, the Bible says. They're just drunk in the morning. You may look like a drunk if you worship God Almighty. I've seen a guy totally drunk in the spirit once in my life. 6 days after I stayed in his home, he walked up to me and he said, my wife wants to get baptized. Will you baptize her? I said, no. The pastor does the baptism. I just do the preaching. And he said, why? I said, I respect the pastor. He will baptize you. The protocol is you belong to his fold. I'm not pulling you away from there. If you realize that you're a sinner and you want to go through baptism and you're willing to go through the process of becoming a Christian and proclaiming that Jesus is God, when you go through baptism, you are in the right place. These three guys walked out of the fire because the king said, come. Come outside the fire. Only three walked out, not the fourth guy. If he did, the king would have died because it was fire going to walk out. He is the fire which lights your soul. Let me tell you, when these three men walked out, the guys who accused them, they got smashed Because the king's command came again. Anybody who says anything against these three people and the God of these people, not just Shadrach, Meshach, anybody who says stuff which is not right against this God who can deliver. That's the king's words. He said their houses will be a dunghill. If you stand up and proclaim and be a witness, maybe in your job, maybe in your family, maybe among your friends who mock you, Jesus will walk with you. One day those friends will realize that they were fools. Hell is real. The fire of hell is real. And Jesus won't walk with you into that. He's the one who's going to condemn you if you don't believe. John chapter 3 verse 15 says, he who believes has eternal life. Whom do you believe? Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of the living God. Nobody else, nobody lesser than him. I was talking to a few people and I discovered that yoga is becoming a big thing here. Do you know the origin of yoga? I come from a Hindu family. Yoga is the dance the serpent taught a guy called Shiva, who became a crazy nut. Women worship the phallus in India, thinking it's God. How perverted can the human mind fall? Your God will not let you down if you put him in the right place. You are my Lord. You are my God. And like Thomas said, I don't need to touch you because I can see the truth. Thomas came to India. He was a doubter. All of us have doubts. Indians, more or less. When we think about God, what is God to us? Who is your idol today? These guys knew that the commandment said, you will not bow down to any other God other than me. And these guys knew. And the golden idol was there, the music was playing, and these guys were like, what a fool you can be. They were accused, they were thrown in the fire, they were willing to die. Don't try to be a man pleaser. It might be the king. It might be your boss. It might be somebody who's throwing an idol in front of you. It might be somebody who's putting you on a spot where you need to make a choice, either God or the job. Choose God. He will provide better jobs. The other day I walked into Michael's house. I prayed for Carol and I was like, I said, Lord, tell me what I need to tell this dear lady. I need to hear from you before I walk in there, because if you don't speak, it's no use me speaking. When I walked into Carol's house, at the door, he told me, the Son of Righteousness will rise up with healing in his wings. Hallelujah. The Son of Righteousness, the Son of God, the only righteous one, will walk into that room with healing in his wings. You might be going through a difficult situation. You might be facing a disease which doctors said can't be healed. My God can heal. The Lord God heals. He told Exodus 15:26, he said, none of the diseases I will put upon you, because you are mine. Are you his? Do you belong to him? Can you proudly say, I am a Jesus freak? It's okay to be a Jesus freak. It's okay to go crazy dancing around the ark. Today you are that ark of the holy temple. You contain the Holy Spirit. That fire cannot burn you. This morning, even as I close, I will repeat one incident which happened. And after this, I'll try and close. I am here to tell you, Jesus is waiting to heal you, provided there's a condition. You throw away your idols. Throw away your idols. I might be repeating myself. Please throw away your idols. It might be somebody in your family you love very dearly. Might be somebody in your near and dear friends whom you can't say no to. Might be something that you held close to your heart a long time. Throw away your idols. Don't ever bow to them. I'm going to tell you a story which I never told in the first service. Maybe I should have. The Lord prompted me, but I was worried about the time. I live close to a forest. And one day I was driving my little motorcycle, and me and my wife were on this motorcycle. We were coming home around late night. I don't remember the time exactly, but I suddenly saw this huge demonic structure tied to this tree after a festival. There's a goddess called Kali in India, has eight hands and the tongue sticking out and all that. And this funny idol was tied to a tree in the forest. I don't know what the plans were behind tying the tree, but when I saw this forest and the idol there, I was afraid for a minute. I turned, stopped the bike, looked at that idol, focusing the headlight, and I said, I'm going to come and kick this thing tomorrow. You might call me crazy. Going next day morning with my little Fiat car, I stopped at that same spot with a pastor friend who normally comes with me to prison. And I stopped at the same spot and I told him, Pastor, 1 minute, let me get out. Hey, oh, wait. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to kick it. And he said, no, don't do that. I said, why? I got out of the car, went and gave it a whack on the butt, and that was it. It broke its hands and head and everything went down. Sad story. Nothing happened to me. The pastor's body swelled up like this. He couldn't eat or speak for the next 16 months. Fear God, not Satan. Fear him who has life. Fear him who can take life. Don't fear Satan who can't do anything. Months later, three of us went into the room where this pastor was lying down, put our hands, prayed for him, walked out. Third, fourth day, he's on his feet walking around. My God heals. The Lord Jesus healed, still heals, will heal your soul, your family, your situation. Everything is under his feet. Every situation that's holding you is under his feet. The same God who healed me, the same God who healed Pastor, the same God who brought those kids out of the fire, that same God is alive today with us, in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for the children here. I ask those who need healing, please stand. Those who think you need healing, please stand. I'm going to pray. God can heal you right now, wherever you are. You might be ashamed to come up. Just stand up. I'm going to pray after the service too, if Pastor allows me time or you have time. Let's pray now. Lord Jesus, touch your people. Touch your people because you, Lord, art God. You are the healer. You are the only one who heals. Touch your people, Lord, because they deserve your holy touch by your blood. They have come hungering to your throne of grace this morning, saying, Jesus, touch me. Make this Sunday special for them, Lord. Let the name of Jesus Christ be glorified in their holy names. Lord Jesus, bring your Holy Spirit upon each child here. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak every demonic oppression to leave this place. I bind the powers of darkness and release the forces of the Holy Spirit, the angelic forces, in Jesus' name, flow over this place. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Philip. We really just appreciate you you speaking and praying and the prayer you're still going to do. Friends, I was reminded this morning as Philip was speaking of part of Joshua's story. And in the book of Joshua, God leads his people to take the city of Jericho. They follow the directions of God and do what he tells them to do, and the walls of Jericho collapse. They fall in their place, and they take the city of Jericho. And then after taking Jericho, they're told not to take any of the gold or the silver or the idols or anything from Jericho. Not long after, there's a battle, and God's people get routed in the battle. And they're confused as to why God would bring them this far, and then they would be routed in the battle. And it came down to one person who took gold and silver and things from Jericho. That one person made idols, and he buried them in his tent. God said you need to go get those things and get rid of them. Maybe you have an idol buried in your tent. Maybe you have multiple idols buried in your tent. And you're asking God to move, and you're asking God to do what's next in your life, and you're asking God to do this and that. But it's that idol that keeps you from moving forward with God. Because that matters more to you than he does and his will does. And as long as that idol, whatever it is, matters more to you than what God and his will does, you can't walk fully in God's will. You have to get rid of the idol. You have to get rid of the idol. Philip's going to come up front as we are done today for anybody who wants to have prayer. He has been given by God a gift of prayer. God allows him to speak things into people's lives. I've seen him do it that you know is from God. And if you're just knowing that God is prodding your heart in some way to come for prayer today, he will be here up front as we're dismissed. Next week, we begin a great new series on looking at Jesus, who he is. So be blessed as you leave today. We'll see you next week. For those that are helping out to get ready for the events of the week, the center chairs stay for today. Only the chairs on the side will go down today. But be blessed. It is a great day to love God and to walk with him. Ask him to seek your heart, to cleanse you, to bring to your mind anything that is in the way that you need to get rid of. Be blessed. We'll see you next week. Come for prayer.